You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 19 October. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Mia Kruger, I want to touch on that Dis-Chem trading update, and we've got a moment agri-stocks. Vickers Lauterhorn from Colgro M3 as they back into profit, and Renogen as they launch a world-first helium exchange. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from Fin24. Two people linked to Steinhoff face a criminal trial in Germany. The names haven't been made public, but the Germans have said these will be German citizens or residents, so it's not going to be Markus Juster, but there is a second trial which may then include the former CEO. Business Day, Thungela Resources hit by own report on Transnet. They issued a sense yesterday detailing the issues that they're having, frankly, getting coal out of the country via Transnet, and saying that their operations could take a hit as its stockpiles reach capacity from November. Morning markets, lots of green. The US, we had S&P up a third of a percent and NASDAQ up a full percent. Sydney up 0.1 and Turkey up 0.2%. Commodities mostly green overnight. Gold, 1,774. Brent, a little weaker, 84.20. Palladium, 2,037 an ounce. Rand, 1465. Top 40 looking for a red open, but 60 points down. That's 0.1% as Tencent trades off 0.5% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mia Kruger from Kruger International, where she is, of course, a director. Mia, appreciate the early morning time. A Dis-Chem update came out yesterday, 6 months ending August. Good numbers. HEPS expected to be between 32.6 and 37.6%. Looking at Dis-Chem versus Clicks, I mean, do you have a preference between the two, or an either, neither? Or I mean, sometimes is it a case of perhaps both?
Good morning, Simon. Yes, I think, you know, when we saw Dis-Chem come to the market, there was a lot of excitement and exuberance around the company listing, because everyone that is familiar with the sector has been such fans of Clicks, and Clicks is probably one of the best run companies on the JSE and has performed very well for investors. And over the years, the returns were very strong. They've been a solid company and a good investment. And I think everyone expected the same from Dis-Chem. So Dis-Chem came to the market, of course, not in a company as established as Clicks, mm-hmm. and still on the acquisition trail, as we also see now in the update. We've heard about all the acquisitions even going now into insurance. And all of that is making it a slightly different sort of beast than we've seen with Clicks. Clicks more stable, in my view, and Dis-Chem slightly more, and I wouldn't say unstable, but you know, there's more prospects of change in the future, and you don't really know exactly where they will expand into, if I can say it like that. So when you consider the valuations on both of these, when we look at this scheme, it's had a strong run over the past year. We've seen the share price up. I think it's over 70% over the past year. Where Clicks, it has not shot the light out like that. I think it's less than 30% up the share price, mm-hmm. compared to many of the other strong runs. I mean, this year on the JSE, we got used to big numbers. And the valuation has actually just showed us that. So this scheme, forward PE looks quite similar to that of what we've seen from Clicks at the moment. But still, you know, it's two different companies. One's a very settled company, and one is one on the acquisition trail, still finding its feet.
Yeah, and I like your point. We have suddenly had to get used to big numbers when 30% puts you in second place. A quick question: agricultural stocks. I've had a lot of folks in the last day or three on Twitter and the like asking me about them. We don't have a massive number on our local exchange. The biggie, perhaps, Carpagri. Do you have a preference in agriculture? Perhaps even an offshore one, which is preferred?
Well, Simon, once again, most of the agricultural companies are not listed, as you say. So, so if you want to really look in the space and look for the agricultural sectors that you think are the strongest sectors for growth in South Africa, we know that nuts are particularly profitable, but there's nothing listed that offers you any exposure there, and you really don't want to get into farming if you're not a very, very seasoned farmer, and even then, it's very risky, you know. So, hats off to the farmers. But yes, it's a difficult one to invest in from the listed side. Also, most of these companies are smaller. We know, you know, Zeda being one of the ones that's been a holding company in the agricultural space for years, has sold Pioneer, which is really a food company and not an agricultural company any longer. And it's changed a lot. So Zeda, we were excited about it because it said it's going to change tact. It's excited about what it's going to do, but we don't really know what it's going to do yet. They haven't told us exactly. They've just paid the big dividends. The underlying businesses they have done well, which Cobb Agri, which you referred to, is one of their holdings also. But not a lot of options in this space. And as I say, mostly it's a very, very broad agriculture. It's a very broad a term. Firstly, we need to just quickly, I'll just touch on it, but I mean, anything from Illovo, Tongaat falls into it, to agriculture with sugar. We've got the chicken, the poultry guys, which are really struggling businesses that are very, very difficult to make returns from. And then we've got the fishing side of the businesses with Oceana and those companies, and then all the way through to Kaap Agri, Zeda, with slightly sort of more fruit and Cape orientated businesses in their portfolio. So yes, it's a broad one. You need to know exactly where you want to go, and then finding something to give you the entry point is quite hard.
Yeah, and I mean, I like the way, when I say agri, I've got to be honest, I'm thinking Kaap Agri and the like. But actually, you're right, it's all those others as well. And of course, and they are deeply cyclical. We'll leave it there. Mia Kruger, Director, Kruger International, I always appreciate the early morning. Our poll today, which we're asking on our LinkedIn and Twitter, talking about that Dis-Chem update, Dis-Chem versus Clicks. I mean, they are different businesses. Do you have a preference, perhaps one or the other, or both, or perhaps neither? You can have your vote, have your say on Twitter and LinkedIn.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Joining now with Vikas Latakhan, CEO, Calgro M3. They had results for 6 months ending August. It saw revenue up 45.6%, headline earnings per share up 262.8%. Short answer, back in profit. Vikas, appreciate the early morning. It's been a tough couple of years for Calgro M3, going back to even before the pandemic. These results really look to me that is now behind you and you are back on track as an operational entity.
Morning and thanks for your time this morning. Yes, I think with respect, I think Calgary's challenges was long before COVID. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think I called it this time last year, the good, the bad and the ugly. For many companies, the ugly was COVID. For us, the preceding 3 years was the ugly and the bad was just COVID hampering the or restraining the completion of the restructure. But yeah, where we today, I think the restructure is complete in the latter half of last year and we're now moving forward. And what's good for us is to see is that everything is coming together. You'll see it's not only about the revenue increase of 45%. Our GP margin is the four-year high of 19.7%, and we believe that will continue to grow. Our overheads is further down, as well as our interest of 31% down, giving rise to the NAV. And, of course, that all was generated in cash of 133 million. That reduced our net debt to equity to 0.84. And everyone will remember that number was a lot higher in the past.
Yeah, and it was, as you said, all sort of filtered through and ultimately ended up at cash, which is the core of a business. You mentioned your gross profit margins just under 20%. Historically, in the good times, you've got that closer to 25%. Is that going to be possible again?
Yeah, so in the good times, I think the highest ever been was about 21.7%.
Okay.
Our intention is definitely get it back there. In fact, if you look at how we work now on efficiencies, not doing our own construction any longer, so that boils down into the overheads line more. So I think some of the benefit will come through that line, not necessarily through the GP line, but also just increased densities on these properties, better design, better efficiencies, building less square meters for the same amount of, let's call it, saleable square meters.
Mm-hmm.
And that all give rise to this GP margin. So we really hope it can creep quite a bit like closer to 25% and actually get into the all-time high, but on a sustainable basis.
Yeah.
I think it's very easy to do these once-offs. Everything we do, we want to try and do on a sustainable basis.
You delivered, 771 during this period. How many have you got under construction at this point in time?
5,091 opportunities. So, yeah, I think that will show to the listeners. Our open market sales are currently up more than 100%. And remember, the way we do is we buy the land, we do the infrastructure, mm-hmm. the town planning, all of that. And then we first go to market before we go and construct the units. So the units that's being constructed now is an uptick in sales the previous year. This uptick of 100% in open market sales will only come through in future results. Now, some of that's now under construction, and a lot more units predicted to be handed over in the second 6 months, which I also think will be indication of both where the profits will go, mm-hmm. as well as the cash generation. We're very stringent on that our revenue recognition, our cash, banking the money in the bank aligns. So the days of fancy accounting and all these accounting things, we found methods around that.
When we chatted last time, you were talking around, you know, you're very much in the low-income space, and certainly low interest rates have helped, but also the government subsidies and the like. Are interest rates, which eventually go up, I'm not sure when, but eventually go up, is that going to be a challenge to Calgro, or do the government subsidies actually do most of your sales?
No, so currently we only have about 12% of our units under construction for the city of Johannesburg or Gauteng provincial government.
Okay.
And nothing yet in the Western, or this point in the Western Cape. So government driven, actually very small in the bigger scheme of things. So yes, interest rates will definitely play a role. But I think where Calgro and where it's been very successful over the years is that value for money offering,
mm-hmm.
Bringing still houses, 40 square meter, two bedrooms, one bathroom, to the market at under 450,000 rand. Now, if you put that in perspective, that's a bond of roughly 3,600 rand. But if you then add a potential FLIS subsidy, which most of those clients qualify for, it brings that bond down to under 3,000 rand. So uptick in the interest rate, 2 basis points mean roughly 400 rand a month. So it will definitely have influence. But I think that market is so broad that we're confident that we'll be able to overcome that through good sales efforts, as well as just proving to the market that the value offering is still there.
Yeah, and 400 bucks is not nothing, but it's only a little over 10%. Quick last question, Memorial Parks, which is a relatively new area for you, that doing fairly well, generating a good cash?
Yeah, it's picking up nicely. So currently that... you would remember, or listeners would remember, that previously we wanted that rental business, which we luckily exited before COVID,
mm-hmm.
To basically be able to have that annuity flavor and cover the group's interest and overheads. Memorial Parks is already, the free cash is already covering the group's overheads, and we'd like that to cover the group overheads and interest in the near future. So building that risk hedge up, and then all the development profits, which over the years, yes, there will be good cycles, and I think we're only commencing a good cycle. But we know that the property business is cyclical, so that will act as a risk hedge through that period.
Yeah, but I like that point you make there. The Memorial Parks sort of cover the costs and then cover interest, and you've got that base sorted. Vikas Lauterkhan, CEO at Calgro M3, appreciate the early morning, sir.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Stefano Moroni. He is CEO of Renogen, and my disclaimer up front, I hold shares here. Stefano, appreciate the early morning time. Since yesterday, talking around a launch of a helium exchange, at the moment, how is helium traded? Is it literally via sort of contracts in dusty offices, so no price transparency, no real price discovery?
That's exactly right. So all helium in the world at the moment traded between the upstream producers and the midstream distributors is via long-term take-or-pay contracts, which means that they're all bilaterally negotiated, and it's very opaque. Which leaves an enormous margin in the middle for the middleman.
Yeah, I'm thinking in that type of environment, someone is making a lot of money. It's not often easy to spot. So a launch of a new helium exchange. I mean, and this, as I understand, the actual exchange has been done by Purple Group. But this is going to bring transparency, and you're going to be selling units in essence, to start to create that liquidity on that exchange.
Exactly. So Argonon, our partners in this, are issuing a token, and that token will be backed by blockchain. So, you know, at the risk of drawing a parallel with Ethereum or Bitcoin, it'll be a digital asset that'll be traded, and it'll be traded on one of the digital exchanges. We're not sure which one yet, but you know, likely Coinbase or Binance, one of those. It can be transferred from one wallet to the next, but the underlying digital asset gives you access to a unit of helium, and a unit of helium is 1,000 cubic feet. Under the right condition, temperature, pressure, etc., and that's as simple as it is. It essentially allows the end user to be able to participate in much the same way that you would in buying a gold ETF. This would allow you to participate in the value and the massive gap between where the refineries sell the helium upstream, which is around $230-$250 per unit, and downstream where hospitals are paying as much as $1,000 to $1,300 per unit.
So in essence, a hospital could come onto the platform wherever it may be. They could buy their units and I mean, sort of cut their prices, but also create that price discovery, that transparency, which we said was so very lacking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It could also be used. We've got one or two people that are talking to us who are very large helium users as it stands for their manufacturing process. And they're looking at this as a means of hedging their forward exposure in helium. So, you know, this isn't just for the average person in the street that's trading. We actually do have a few helium users on the back end who are talking to us about using this to try and manage their forward exposure.
Okay, because that would be my next point. So then last question. You've got an offtake agreement already for 65% of expected production. This is for your phase one. The 100,000 helium units over the next 19 years, is that pretty much the other 35%, or have you still got some capacity out there?
Oh, no, there's plenty of capacity. Okay. So this 100,000 units represents the balance, the 35% remaining of the planned phase two operation. This would represent about three quarters worth of production.
Okay, so still quite
over 19 years, it's absolutely nothing.
Yeah, gotcha. That's Stefano Moroni, CEO of Renogen. I got to say, I think this is exciting. We've got a new commodity that we can suddenly go out there and trade. Not just yet, it'll be there in time, but this is certainly interesting day. Stefano, appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. A poll yesterday, chatting with Ned Kuntz, we were talking about, is this an everything rally? And I tell you what, again, overnight, everything green. It's what we were asking on our LinkedIn and Twitter. 40% of you were like, yep, this is it, and it's going to run till the end of the year. The other 60% of you, not so convinced. Some saying, no, it's going to die in a hurry, and some others saying it'll fade in time. But at this point, and I mean, we're only day one since we coined it, so far, things are just running higher. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie Nabuchle, Eleanor, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the Money.